Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We got a lot of doings going on here. So there's a thing okay, hang on a second. Back up, Phil. Use your words. There's within the Right Side family, we have our own way of speaking. I don't know about y'all, but like at my house, ain't nobody ever uses a real name or gets called by their real name. And if you do, you're in trouble. Do they do that at your house? Is like, if your mom calls your whole name if you're in trouble when you were growing up?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the middle name too. That's when you really knew you were
in trouble. Mine was like Philip Wayne Williams Jr. I was in big trouble when that happened. Yeah. If the junior came out, woo. There's on right now, in the way that we say and do things around here. I need all of you Chattanoogans. I don't know what to call you. Somebody from Chattanooga needs to square me away. Do I call them Chattanoogans? Do I call them Chattanoogians? Do I call them? I don't know. What else would there be?
I think Chattanoogians is probably good.
Chattanoogians,
but that doesn't sound like it. Doesn't come off the tongue correct.
I feel like I'm saying something I shouldn't say.
Yeah.
Anyway, the bottom line is we're glad to have y'all, and we got all kinds of words and things we use around here and recurring segments on the show you're going to get used to, and we're just proud of them. And one of the ones we do is when we start looking around what's happening in our backyard. I spent 8 years in the Alabama State Senate. I became convinced during my time in the state legislature that what happens in your respective state capitals sometimes has more of an impact on what happens in your day-to-day life than anything else. And sometimes the news in your own backyard, because of what a mayor or a council did or a school board did or what's happening with a grassroots effort on yada, 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 that can have more impact on the things that we do and care about and participate in than anything that comes out of D.C. So is D.C. important? Yeah. But you know what? The laws that are passed in your state capital, they determine a lot of times what taxes you pay at the pump. They determine what your sales tax is. They determine whether or not you can get certain kinds of jobs or whether you're going to have economic development. They all what books are being used by your school systems, all of it. So when we do a segment like that, we like to say we're cooking up a batch of what we call home fries. Yeah, cook them up. Just cook them up. Let you folks in Chattanooga need to understand that one of the weird dynamics of politics in Alabama is that we have a recurring zombie bill. Every state's got them, but we have a recurring zombie legislation that just can't be killed. You can drive a stake through its heart, but I'm telling you, it's just going to come and keep coming right back, and it's gambling. So the gambling interests in the state of Alabama have been some of the most corrupt people that have ever been encountered, and that's saying a lot. The idea that once again we're going to be facing it this year after what they tried to do the last few years, I mean, look, I was there for when the bingo trials were going on. They call them the bingo trials because it was people determined to create casinos around pretending they were doing bingo. It was asinine. And we found out that they were paying the staff in the state house to put certain words in the bills that they could then argue in court meant things they needed. Then we've seen bills most recently where Republicans who had always been opposed suddenly were on board, whoop, whoop, because they might get a casino in their backyard and somebody might contribute to their campaign fund. And next thing you know, we've got legislation that is doing everything that Republicans say they don't stand for. Let's pretend for a second the bill's not about gambling, not about, you know, Vegas-style casinos. Let's just pretend that it's about, I don't know, grocery stores. This bill created monopolies by only allowing the government picking winners and losers. So in other words, hey, you're allowed to have one, you're not. I'm not talking about licensure. I'm talking about naming names and embedding them in our state constitution. We're talking about raising taxes. We're talking about growing government. We're talking about non-warranted search and seizure. We're talking about creating new law enforcement with special rights. It went on and on and on. Well, you'd love to believe that they might learn their lesson at one point. Maybe. Just could we please? Apparently not. 1819 News has a piece that came out 2 days ago. State Senator Garland Gudger, who is the new pro tem coming into the Alabama State Senate, the Senate goes into session in about 30 days. He reports that the Alabama legislature may be considering gambling again for the coming session. He also said, though, in a much more encouraging way, that what he expects to see, and by the way, I just said that wrong. It was not Gudger that said that about gambling. It was one of the others said about gambling. Gudger then came out and said, too, one of the things we will be considering is a state-level immigration bill. Now, that's huge, and that needs to happen. The gambling bill, I've got a piece, the other piece by 1819 News. Jeff Poor, our friend who comes on the show every Wednesday for the Grand Council, he wrote a piece that says that right now all signs point to another gambling push. One of the reasons why we know why, we're starting to see the signals, is like the retirement systems of Alabama, David Bronner, the king from Montgomery. He's been touting it as a way of creating more revenue because we need more revenue. He doesn't talk about the fact that, you know, the legislature keeps having to put $1.7 billion into his retirement fund because the management of it is not going great. But I think that what you're going to see right now is the discussion of gambling coming up, maybe even in a special session by itself. And that just boggles my mind. Gudger, though, talking about this illegal immigration bill, that's huge. So as a state senator, I was proud to be there in 2012? I think it was 2012. We had what was called the Beeson-Hammond Act. And it was the it was one of the first state-level illegal immigration bills in the United States. And it was comprehensive. And if I had to sum it up, all we really said was, hey, federal government, if you won't do it, we'll enforce it for you. And I'd like to say that it all stood up to the legal challenges, but the usual suspects in the legal field went right after it. The ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, any number of others, and they somehow or another, they always managed to get the same judge out of Montgomery. How's that even happen? But yeah, we saw parts of it go down, but many parts of it are still in effect. And the protests in our state capitol were unbelievable. You know, blocking the hallways, you know, screaming and yelling and doxing and doing all the things that they do. Well, now I really believe that we're in a different time. I had one of the other state senators on the show here not long ago, Senator Chris Elliott from down in Baldwin County. And I made the comment, I think that we are in an era right now where a state-level immigration bill should be considered again because the sentiments have changed dramatically. And he agreed. Well, we're looking right now is the possibility of rekindling much of that. And I'm thinking, yay, get her done. Absolutely get her done. Now, let's look at Tennessee for a minute. Tennessee state legislature goes in, I believe tomorrow, actually, January 14th. They do. They reconvene in Nashville at the state capitol on January 14th for the, and by the way, I can say this because I used to be one. The state is safer when we're not having the legislature in session. Just saying. But all that to say, we now have in Tennessee the ability to see some new stuff happening related to school choice, especially. School choice and grocery tax repeals are both on the table. Alabama did a great job with that last year. The CHOOSE Act is now the law in Alabama that allows parents and legal guardians to finally have a true choice to do about the education of their child. Tennessee is considering doing something very similar. So they got, 27 Republicans in the Senate, 6 Democrats, and then 75 Republicans in the House, 24 Democrats. So you got a supermajority. Look, here's the thing. If the people of Tennessee want school choice, the Republicans have no ability to see that blocked except by themselves. If it doesn't pass, it's because of Republicans, not because Democrats stood in the way, not because the teachers union bowed up, not because protests, you know, by the usual suspects. And no, if school choice is not passed this year in Tennessee in a comprehensive fashion, it's because of Republicans. Now, that has happened time and again in Alabama, but they finally got it done. I was one of the very first pieces of school choice we ever got passed called the Accountability Act in 2014, I think, 13 or 14. And it was amazing to be there that night. But Tennessee, and Tennessee's got some great stuff with the ability to see, you know, community college paid for the first 2 years. But right now, generally speaking, Governor Lee is pushing for a bill that Tennessee lawmakers are looking to go for that expands the state's current school voucher program. And the new one would give perks for public schools, like a $2,000 bonus for public school teachers and things like that. So it includes something there to, you know, make it more palliative to the teachers union. But they're looking at expanding the capabilities of their School Choice Act. And if they don't do it, again, it's only because Republicans didn't want to do it. That's cool. And I think that's sweeping the nation right now, by the way. All right, when we get back from this break, I will tell you that there has been some serious speculation about what is happening with the governor in Alabama. Is she or is she not strong enough to finish out her term? That's debated? That's debated. I'll tell you more about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. So I got a text here from Bob from Madison who just texted in, and yeah, this is amazing. He says, Fox News, as fires rage, Newsom and California Democrats spend $50 million attacking Trump. Yeah, that's an amazing story. So I'm talking about home fries right now. We're cooking up a batch of home fries, I like to call it, when we're talking about things that are happening in our state capitals. And listen, here's a classic example of how jacked up a state capital can be. I mean, this is the height of jackassery, if you will. Just say it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. The jackassery sound effect kicking in. JP on the money. So you got out in California right now. The state legislature is in special session. Why? To prepare to Trump-proof their state. What does that even mean? Listen, it costs a lot when you convene a special session of the legislature, and you better have something real going on when you do. And instead, what we got is just posturing and politics and, oh, by the way, sour grapes and Governor Newsom looking feckless and the state legislature, the Speaker of the State House, in California, was asked the other day, with the state burning like it is right now, why are y'all convening to attack Trump? And he didn't even have good responses to that. He what good response could there be? Just saying.
He's also going on a Twitter war with Elon Musk, claiming everything about...
Who, Newsom?
Yes. About everything about how fire hydrants are drying up is fake news. It's just not true. And stop politicizing this fire, which, by the way, whenever a politician says it, let's stop politicizing this, it means stop looking about how I'm the cause of
exactly.
All this, you know? It's, yeah. But there's also a report, I don't know if you saw it, well, it was somebody on Twitter saying that their brother who was in Oregon or Washington, they sent, he was part of the fire department, they sent trucks down there, and they're currently held up because they are being emission tested. Jeez. And it looks like they won't be released anytime soon to be used.
Do you see how many emissions are going on right now
yeah,
with
exactly.
the smoke? And
yeah,
the,
I think California being on fire contributes more to global warming than a truck.
Listen, if you went down to your state capitol and you saw some of whom makes the laws for your state, you would think, okay. If they can get elected, anybody can.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some folks that just like my neighbor's house cat can do a better job passing laws. I mean, there's some really solid, you know, dudes and dudettes in the state capitals doing what they do, and they're important and they're needed. And there's some jackwagons too. Seriously. Well, so speaking of our state capital, here's one from Alabama. So there's a story right now on AL.com, which is a liberal rag that I rarely turn to, but I saw the headline and I thought I'd grab it. Headline, Mike Kasin, by the way, is a pretty good guy. He's the one who wrote it. Will Alabama elect a political outsider as governor in 2026? Trump's victory makes anything possible. I don't know. I mean, we have right now our current governor is term limited. She will be leaving office, Kay Ivey. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth is absolutely considered to be a front runner for the possible, you know, ascension to the office. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville just surprised the people the other day by declining to say that he wouldn't do it, saying never say never. And basically, he just left his options wide open and sent shockwaves through some people in Montgomery who were like, oh, crap, because his name ID and personal wealth would make that, you know, a very tough race, even if he just wanted to finance his own. And then you've got others like, Our current ag commissioner is looking at running. But could there be somebody from the outside? I don't know. But the question is, who's on the inside right now? There's a story on 1819 News today that I've been in the mix on, talking about behind the scenes. But Kay Ivey, I've known her for a number of years, and she was sharp as a tack, and she has just so slowed down. I mean, it's to the point that you wonder, is she okay? Well, she's had several health events lately. She had a collapse event and they claimed it was dehydration at a campaign event during the election season, just like in November, just a few months, just like a month and a half ago. There have been other unconfirmed but widely believed events where she may have had a mini stroke or some kind, and yet she's still in office. Well, 1819 News has a story where they got hold of her daily schedule, and for the vast majority of her time, like 65% of it, her day shuts down at 3 o'clock. The governor of the state shuts down at 3 o'clock. I had a friend of mine who used to work for Governor Riley. He told me that by the time he got to work in the morning at 7:30, that Riley was already there and had already read 5 newspapers and knew what the briefings were going to be about before they were briefed to him. Kay Ivey right now shuts down her day at 3 o'clock on the majority of her days. And even on the days when she's not, it's mostly like ceremonial functions, ribbon cuttings, and showing up at the chamber event. Stuff like that.
When people talk about who's running the country without Joe Biden, is then who's running the state if Kay Ivey's shutting it down at 3 o'clock every day?
The interns and the staff. That's what it feels like. Am I wrong? I don't know. Somebody prove me differently. I'd love to see her get suddenly real engaged in her last year. But right now, the sense is we have a very tired governor, and there's speculation that she might even resign before her term is up. Huh? More of that. Hey, we're coming back with Adventures in Woke World with an update on lab-grown meat. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.